sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And just so you know, the podcast we did on The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yeah.
That was the first episode my son ever listened to. He downloaded it on Spotify and was like, I gotta listen to it because I'm on it.
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, he was just happy. I think he was telling his friends, my dad's podcast.
That was so cool, man. That was great seeing him on there.
Yeah.
My goal, as you know, is to get your dad on here.
I know. He texted me the other day and I said, hey, when do you want to get on? And he's like, and didn't respond to that.
Well, I just think it'd be really cool to get him on, and, you know, for a couple reasons. One is legacy, you know, a couple generations now, because it's weird how, you know, you ended up in ministry anyways. You know what I mean? You. Yeah, you're not. Well, I mean, you are ordained. You are. There are early listeners.
I'm not ordained by any Christian organization.
Yeah, you are their pastor. If you guys don't know, back in the early days, Pete's like, I want to be a pastor. So he mailed away just for fun. And people started saying, Pete Mitchell's my pastor. So, to be fair,
I didn't mail away. It was all online.
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't even pay the $1. Like, they had a $1 option and a free option. I'm like, I'm going for the free. So I can.
Of course you were.
I can, at least in the state of California, I can legally marry people.
Yeah.
So, you know, feel free to.
People do need gay weddings from time to time.
My rate is affordable. That's all I can say.
You know, Pete, it's funny because, you know, this started in a good place, and that was getting you, but you have been ministering all these years, and that's the thing that, you weren't
pastoring
the church.
What are you talking about? I'm not ministering.
Yeah, you are. Listen, you can't tell people that they can be ministers in their workplace and then on the podcast say, no, I'm not a minister because I'm not a pastor. What are you talking about? It's like you're literally going against the entire philosophy of the Church Planner Podcast. You have ministered to so many people on here, not in Bible Inner Circle. Don't forget, you gave them a trade. You have personally led every employee to Christ that's come to work for us. Like, Pete, come on.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
You said I personally, who?
Benz, for one.
I didn't personally lead him.
Well, you were influential in that. You worked on a lot more than I did. He came to Christ. Of course, then he got fat, and then we weren't sure we liked his work anymore.
You know,
bring back skinny Benz.
He listens to the podcast, so I just want you to know, you just offended him.
Benz, you've heard us make that joke all the time. We love you. You're fine. We just made that joke that it don't tell me he listens to the podcast. I can't be fettered. So anyways, and also Wayne, man. I mean, and then there was someone else too. Anyways, I'm just telling you, brother, like, hey, you're a minister in my book, although you're not my pastor. So, all right. Well, hey, smack talk. A lot's happened in the Jones house. What's been going on with the Mitchells?
Well, forget about the Mitchells. What's happening in the Jones house?
Well, first off, here I was Monday, minding my own business, and my daughter wakes up in intense pain. So she had an emergency appendectomy. No, Liberty.
Oh.
So first time ever, you know, we're in the hospital with her. And, you know, it's weird because I'm so used to Eden being in surgery. And Eden's funny because she forgets everything. Like, we're in the car yesterday. She's like, Dad, I don't ever want to have surgery like that. I'm like, are you kidding? Do you know how many surgeries you've had? Like, she's forgotten. I'm like, you've had spinal surgery. Like, that's the heavy hitter of all that, and brain, you know, anything to do with your central nervous system. So anyways, but yeah, it's weird, you know, and I don't you know, the dudes will know this. Like when this stuff happens, you keep it all together. You're there to support everyone else. So you're keeping it cool and you're whatever. But when I came home that night, because Andrea stayed with her overnight, I came home and I crashed. I mean, I was home. I sat down on the sofa and 5 minutes later I was zonked. Woke up at 10 p.m. like, dude, what just happened? And so, yeah, it's been crazy. But then the next morning I had an outpatient surgery for something that's been growing in my armpit and like under the skin. And I thought, oh, this thing's the size of a blueberry. It started growing kind of rapid. Don't worry. I don't have cancer, everybody. But they cut this thing out of me yesterday. It's the size of a grape, like a big grape, you know? And
Did you tell the surgeon? It was my understanding there'd be no cutting today.
No, I showed up and it was the opposite. They're like, are you okay for him to like remove it today? And I'm like, what? Yeah, no, I'm here for this. Like I'm mentally prepared to have it. No, take it out. And they're like, well, sometimes, you know, they might do. I go, no, I'm here. Like you don't understand. I'm the typical dude. I never come here. I don't go to the doctors only because it grew so fast. And they think it's like a cyst and then it got inflamed. Like the guy was looking at it, like, he's like, well, it's got a little scarring here, which shows me it went through some trauma. Like it was a living being, like it was the alien zygote growing inside of me. And,
now, did they give it to you? Did you get to leave with it?
Well, no, but I did ask to see it. Well, first they asked me and I said, you know, I wanted to ask you guys, can I see it? And they're like, yeah. And I go, yeah, well, I didn't ask because I was worried that would be weird. And they're like, now keep in mind, these guys do this all day, every day. They're like, we actually think it's really weird when people don't want to see it. They're like, we just took this thing out of you and you don't want to see what it looks like.
You should go bury it and see if it grows.
No, they were sending it off to the lab.
Right. No, I know. They got to go test it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be sure. But I'm pretty sure it was just like an angry oil gland or something, you know, like, cause you got a bunch of oil glands in your armpit and what have you. But it was under the surface. But, they first had to do an ultrasound to make sure it didn't grow tentacles. Like how creepy is that? It's growing tentacles and it's sending little tendrils through your body. Well, it wasn't. So it was behaving itself. It just curled up into fetal position, a little ball, and hoped it all go away. And yesterday we liberated it. And now it's set free. And they said once they biopsy it, they'll set it free. There's like some farm that they send them. And, you know, they get to run free in pastures. And so, yeah, it's where grandma goes. You know, you send her off to some farm so she can run free and be happy. At least that's what you tell your kids. So. We'll see. That's where this thing went.
That's so bad. That is so bad.
A little close to home, is it, Pete?
That is so
Hopefully
bad.
Luke ain't listening now.
That is so bad.
But this is why we're friends. So what's been going on with the Mitchells, man?
Well, we moved.
Yeah?
Yeah, we moved last week, man.
I know. I was like, hey, dude, can we skip the podcast this week? And you're like, I ain't going to the podcast. I'm moving.
Yeah, Wednesday, we were moving. Wednesday,
so how'd it go?
Well, let me put it like this. You know, here I am. I'm some big buff dude who thinks he can lift a lot of weight. I'm freaking dead tired at the end of every day.
Like, yeah, dude.
All the moving. I mean, and we had movers, like professional movers. And then we had to paint. Well, we started painting the weekend before we moved. Because
you're so smart, dude.
Well, we would have done more.
It goes slow.
But the reality is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened is we couldn't sell our other house. So I didn't have all that money that I was expecting to have from selling that house. So I was like, look, I can't afford painters. You know, let's grab some brushes. We're doing it ourselves.
That's what I do. I painted my entire house, dude. That's why I can't pick up a paintbrush to save my life now. I'm so burnt out.
It sucks. And like,
you know, I never minded painting until I had to paint this monstrosity. I burnt myself out on it.
It's because of all the prep work you got to do. It's the taping, everything.
Yeah.
And like, so you can see behind me, like that's my bookshelves.
Yeah.
We've got,
looks good.
we've got wood accents like that all throughout the
house.
Oh,
nice, dude.
So you got to tape everywhere. Like, it's not just like, oh, you got to keep the paint from getting on the carpet. It's like everything's getting taped.
Yeah.
So it was just, and fortunately for me, you know, the two dudes who were in my small group from church, they volunteered to come over and help. And so they were helping paint, they were helping tape, they were helping doing all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I never would have thought to ask because I never would have volunteered. So I've never like, hey, do you want to come help me paint? Like, it's like, and now I'm like, great. Well, when these two guys move, I got to help now, right? You know, yeah. They got the chips in with me. So
that's how it works, man. My stepdad came and helped me plant 14 trees. And now he's got to erect a overhang on his patio, like a trellis, big old thing with screens. And guess what I'm doing?
I think you're helping.
I'm repaying my debt.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and I absolutely love where we moved. Like, I will still say this, my old house in Plano, nicest house I've ever lived in, nicer than the one I live in now. Like, it is a very nice house. This one, I just like the area. Like, we're on almost 2 acres. You know, my dogs are running around with me in the front yard, the backyard. The neighbors are so nice. Like, everyone here, it's called Country Ridge. Everyone here has, you know, a couple of acres of land, and it's a gated community. So it's just like you walk in and it's like this breath of fresh air. Like, there's not many neighbors. And that's the thing about me. You know me, like, I don't like people. Like, I'm an introvert to the max. And I mean, I've just lived in the city my whole life, in suburbs everywhere, right? And it's like, this is as much rural as Jamie's gonna let me get.
Yeah.
So like, if it was my choice, this isn't rural enough. Like, I can see my neighbors, but
yeah, you need that place where you can go out back and like set up your own shooting range.
Yeah. And, that's, you know, what that would be my dream.
Shoot a 30 caliber.
When you're married, you got to like mix the two, right? Like, yeah, she needs people. I need space. This was the medium.
For a man must then figure how he would please the Lord and his wife. Right? Corinthians. That's from the Bible, Pete. It's a book that most Christians read, and it's really helpful. You should try it.
That's all right. I watched the movie.
I watched The Chosen. I'm good.
Dude, I've never watched The Chosen.
You've never watched it. It's I've seen season one and like the first few episodes of two. I really like it. Like, I think it's pretty good. I mean, apparently, they're getting a lot of heat for quoting the Book of Mormon, which I don't know. I mean, I don't pay that much attention to The Chosen to really notice any of these things. But I watch an episode and I couldn't go back. Like, I watched this one where they're all sitting around a campfire. It's early in season two. It was the last episode I ever watched. I was a freaking mess afterwards.
Really?
I could not stop crying after watching it. Like, it just wrecked me. Yeah, it's this episode where they're all sitting around arguing over who's the greatest, and it's that scene. And the episode ends with Jesus staggering in, and he's like, his feet are blistered, everything, because he's been, like, while they're over there arguing, he's been all day into the night just healing and doing all this, and he staggers in and just collapses in his tent, and like, it's just so moving. Like, it just hit me. Like, I'll get emotional thinking about it, and it's not straight out of the Bible, so it, like, you know, but in the scripture they do that multiple times, and one of the times they do it is, you know, Jesus has just said, I'm going to be crucified and die, and they shift over to, hey, I did this and I did this for him and I'm better. And it's ironic, but yeah, that thing wrecked me. I was like, all right, and I'm in front of my kids, and I don't usually cry in front of my kids. So, I was like, well, that was really embarrassing. I can't. And it's not like I was over there going, oh, like I was a mess, but just, you know, tears down my face. And I just left the room. didn't make a big scene, but it was like, okay, that was a lot to handle. And I don't think I'm ready for that. So maybe if family goes away, I'll check it out again. But, you know, Pete, you're a karate man. You don't cry. So you wouldn't have that problem.
No, I wouldn't.
No, no. So anyways, so that's cool, man. I mean, I really like the room you're in. That looks amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a nice little office. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff we got to do. Like, it needs...
Like, hang your pictures, man.
Well, yeah, you can see them all back there. There's... Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, if you ever don't want that Star Wars one, I'm just saying.
It's actually lights. Like, you put light bulbs on.
I know.
Have you seen
that? Yeah.
It's nice.
You had that in California. I coveted it.
Yes, but I never hung it up in California. It wasn't until we got to Texas that we hung it up.
Yeah, maybe that's why it looks familiar right now. Oh, I recognize that sign. Leaning up against the wall. But, well, hey, I wanted to start doing for the podcast. It's funny I talked to you about it on the podcast. Hey, I've had this idea for the podcast. Let's talk about it live. I want to start doing occasionally like a church planner's diary where it's like I'm currently church planning. And there are things that I am currently going through. And I want to occasionally do like an update, like from the trench, like what's going on in real time.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on in your
trench? Because a lot of what we talked about, it's funny because we go more topical when we're not in the trenches. A lot of what we would talk about in the early days were things like on the ground, things that were happening. And then we do a whole show around it. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is we'll do that. So I'll kind of give everybody an update, a little bit of a review of where we are, how we started, and then kind of update. So number one, we are planting a church called The Abbey. And The Abbey, the idea of an abbey is that an abbey was where it was like a monastery, but not quite like a monastery. It was a working monastery. So you would have, it was like this micro community within a community, but its idea was to serve the community it was in, to be a place of refuge and safety, but also to be outward focused. So it wasn't just inward, come in here and find refuge. It was also, but we're going to serve the surrounding community. And it was kind of kingdom of God thinking. And so we've called this The Abbey. It is, if you want to go to our webpage, it's Abbey, that's with an E, A-B-B-E-Y, Abbey Carlsbad, with a C, Carlsbad, abbeycarlsbad.com. And you check us out and we talk all about it. But we started by doing a house cleansing with a family, and you know, half of them came to Christ that night because the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb in their living room. Like, it was palpable. You could feel it. We were there to deal with the demonic, and the unexpected happened, which was the heavenly dropped a bomb in their living room. And I told them, I said, what you're feeling, because they looked up kind of scared. And I said, what you're feeling right now is the presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's here right now. And when I go, he's made the demonic leave. But when I go, he'll go. And, you know, the Bible talks about it coming back, but God wants to stay here. He wants to stay here with you. But you've got to invite him in. And so that was the segue into them receiving Christ. And that started a chain reaction in that family that the Lord is still working through. Couple months later, because I sent this guy to a Hispanic church in our area. We're in Vista. Well, at that time, we were meeting in, he lived in Vista. So I sent him to a Hispanic speaking church in Vista, which is North County, San Diego. And what happened was they shushed him because he's kind of a loud guy. You know, he's a construction worker, contractor. And he goes, I see him at a sports game and he goes, hey, they shushed me. And he said, you build churches. Why don't you build one for me? And so I said, okay. Cause the Holy Spirit convicted me like, hey, lazy, need to get back on that. And so, I was out of the church planning game for a number of years. Well, also at the same time, many of you that have done anything with New Breed, you've come to know Bo Moffitt. And Bo and Mary wanted to plant a church, and they kept talking to me about it, and I kept putting it off. Because, like, the first time they approached Andrea and I, it was right before COVID, and I could kind of sense something wasn't right. And so we had started meeting in our house, me, Andrea, Bo and Mary, started praying. And a few months in, I was like, hey, guys, something's not feeling right. Well, of course, I got the contract for Church Plantology, and COVID happened. So praise God we didn't keep that going any further. We'd stopped praying in November of 2019. Of course, you know, four or five months later, the bottom dropped out of the world. So Bo had been at this church that had shifted a large church into a disciple making movement, and it had eaten the church alive. Like, it just shrunk it down to almost zero. And Bo, with a little remnant of people, tried to hold on for a long time, but it was like trying to make DMM work in America. That doesn't work very well. So it was like the Brady Bunch, you know. We put our two communities together and formed a core team. And now this church, I'm a Free Methodist. Andrea is ordained as a minister. I'm an ordained minister there. Bo's ordained from Presbyterian. But we came together and just said, let's just do this, and we'll do it as a team. So I know a lot of people out there listening probably like, dude, female pastors can't get on board with that, especially with the SBC thing. But I'd encourage you, go to Through the Word and listen to a few episodes we did in there on women in ministry. Of course, we've done a ton on here. I hold deeply to the Bible, and I do not believe to have women ordained, you need to be a liberal, nor did John Wesley and many others in church history. And I would argue even Jesus and Paul, that they had women ministers. Paul mentions his fellow workers in Romans 16, a third of them are women, but that's another story for another day. But anyways, it was team leadership from the go. And so we met in the house for about 2 years, way longer than what I recommend to me. And it, had we not gotten out of the house, church would have started, core team would have started dying, because people want to see action. They want to see movement. So we got into our new building in January of this year. We, about mid-January, started meeting in a Baptist church called New Song Carlsbad, and they gave us the deal of the century. So we're renting this thing for hundreds of dollars a month. A month, I said, not a week, not an hour, right? Going rate is a few hundred an hour in most places. But these guys have a real heart towards church planting. And so they're like, hey, we want to support you and this and that. So we are beyond thrilled with them. We know we go in there, and the first thing we do is we move all the rows of chairs into half circles, because our vision was to start living rooms, a bunch of little living rooms within a central space, which is kind of what we did in Refuge Long Beach, but not quite the same as this. With this, we've been real strict to have coffee tables, not those big round tables. It's a big round table is like, oh, I'm in a seminar, right? Or I'm at a, you know, a workshop. And no, we're keeping it like a living room. You know, we're sitting in these little groups of 6 to 8. And so we started that. Ralph and Ruby Moore had moved to San Diego a few years ago, about 8 years ago. And Bo and I had helped. I was on the team at Exponential. I had helped him move. But Andrea and Bo and Mary and I and Ralph and Ruby started getting together once a month, because Ralph had come over to the New Breed team and has kind of handed his legacy over to us and is part of our team now. So we said, hey, let's start getting together once a month just for fun, you know, for fellowship. And after a few times of doing that, Ralph said, man, I have lived here for 7 years and I've been in the same church all this time and I've not had this kind of fellowship at all. And we need to do more of this. So Bo is a real estate agent. So Bo kept saying, I'll get you a house up. You need to get up by us. You'll see a lot more of us if you get up here. And so that's what we did, is we moved. First off, they fell in love with the church. They came to the church And on the second time at the church, Ralph is like, we're in. This is our church. This is amazing. Love it. And you know, it's cool because when you have a baller like Ralph in your congregation, it's kind of like having like Chuck Smith or, you know, Martin Lloyd Jones, which I had Martin Lloyd Jones as protege in my church quite a bit back in the day in Wales. But it comes with a price tag because he has a lot of thoughts about stuff. And I mean that in a good way. That's not a bad thing. It's a really good thing. I mean, but you have to be ready for that. I mean, I'm a seasoned leader. And, you know, with seasoned leaders, they're going to have opinions about almost and ways to improve it, not criticisms. But you have to be ready for that. And it actually has been a joy to have him. It's been an honor. It's been pretty cool. He's preached for us once, but he's really there for the fellowship. And another guy, another baller by the name of Stephen Fitch, is there. He was a leader within the Free Methodist Church. He grew up in the Philippines as a missionary, but he started the largest.
Didn't we have him on the podcast?
Not yet, but I really want him on.
Who did we have on the podcast from the Free Methodist?
Oh, probably Larry Wachemeyer.
I
think we had Larry Wachemeyer. But I will say this.
That's just Stephen a great Fitch, last name. Wachemeyer. Wachemeyer.
Yeah, like we had his wife first. That's Deb was on there. She did the Compton Garden. Remember all those years ago we did the Compton Garden one?
Don't remember.
Well, so Stephen Fitch did the largest reforestation project like in the world. It was called the Eden Project, and he started that up. And so having that dude in there is really cool because that dude can cast vision. I can't say, I don't think I can say this, what he told me the other day, but he had met with some like multi-billionaire. And I'm like, how do you even talk to those people? Like, that's just crazy. And that's the world he lives in. So anyways, we're this little group and we can be, it's like the church planting Pistons on any given Sunday. We can be 20 people. We could be 40 people. At Easter, we had 60, right? Which was like a big number for us because we had just gone from the home, you know, like to that. So we're now, gosh, like it's June. We've been in here for just a few months. I mean, but it's been great. So we moved the chairs around and we're at the point where we don't even need power. We do use power when Bo's there, but Bo's on his European 6-week odyssey, traveling with his kids before they graduate. So, they've been away, but it's just been good, man. Each week we meet in those small groups in the church. Action. I'm exploring right now. I don't know. Have I talked about my 10-minute where I preach for 10 minutes and we do discussion for 10 minutes? Then I preach for 10 minutes and we do discussion for another 10?
No.
Oh my gosh, dude. So if I were to say anything on this church planning diary or whatever we want to call it, that has been the funnest thing to do ever. Because keep in mind, like Stephen Fitch, when he came, he's been all over the world, churches all over. And his comment the first time he had said, that is the closest thing to simple or primitive Christianity that I've come across in the West. So there's open time. And when you guys go to the website, if you go to abbycarlsbad.com, we talk about our five values. They're just APEST. You know, people are prioritized on mission. People experience the power and presence of God, prophetic. First one was apostolic. People regularly romanced by the gospel. That's evangelistic. People receive soul care and community. That's shepherd. And then people grow in the wisdom of God through the word of God. That's the teacher. You can steal those if you want, because those are coming out in my next book. But literally, that's all we did, is we said, we want you to experience the APEST. We want you to experience Jesus. If you experience those five things, you've experienced Jesus, right? So, but you know, the preaching thing, Pete, this is what we do. And it changes every week. Like I might lead out with a discussion question. Hey, if you knew you only had a month to live, how would you spend your time? Right. Of course, we're going through Philippians and Paul is you know, possibly on death row, and he's thinks he might be awaiting execution, so he's writing to the Philippians. So everybody loves questions like that. So on that week, we open with that 10 minutes. Then I exposit the passage we're in. And then I might give, you know how like when you're teaching or preaching, the preacher will bring another passage in and talk about how it ties in with the text he's going through. I've started learning the second group, I give them the that scripture and I have them work it through. And I'll give a question that'll help them work through, teaches them how to study the Bible on their own, how to work things out. Brand new believers there. We've got people that are so new to the faith that have come through friends, and they're learning to study the Bible in real time, which is creating hunger. So until we started doing it this way, we've got people right now where they're like, we're watching YouTube, like sermons, and people are getting really into it. But keep in mind, it's APES, so it's not a teacher-only thing. But that ability to interact is teaching people. And then people are also using their gifts. We've talked about this before with Church Zero, cha-ching, that when you allow people to interact in groups on Sunday, you start allowing them to use their spiritual gifts. And that's what's happening. So it's been really powerful.
That's cool. I like it.
It means I have to sacrifice 20 minutes of my preaching time, but it is still a form of teaching. It is still focus on the word. And I have to work harder for those 20 minutes because I only have 20 minutes. But it has been amazing. And I might even want to come back from those groups, say, hey, what did you get in your group? And if somebody has something they really want to share from their group, it gets shared. And we're starting to do micro testimonies at the end of the service. So like we do our announcements at the very end, we just pick one or two things. We've done whole episodes on that, but we're closing out with people telling micro stories of how God's working in the community. And this is my next big thing. So this is just diary update, but I'll fill in occasionally. Like my next one, I'm probably going to talk about how I'm trying to get small group leaders in those groups. Cause right now I have to keep an eye, like you need someone who's seasoned to be in each group. And right now, sometimes we've got groups where it's like, if there's not a quote unquote leader in that group, people will, just stare down at the Bible. And so you always have little snags when you do it. So now I got to train up small group leaders. Next, I want to train up people that can give communion. So because we do central communion, we probably always will, but I want to start sharing that out. But there's a real art to leading people through communion. I think it's the most important thing we do every week. Puts Jesus right in the center. So anyways, we'll talk about all these things in detail as we go. And it won't just be Peyton's weird way of doing church. What I like to do with these is to highlight and focus different transitions. So like now, you know, that's a barrier that we're hitting is, oh, small groups, they need a little attention. Let's talk about that. We're going to launch Discipology in the church, which, by the way, if you've been paying attention, we have been featured on YouVersion top center of their page for the last week. And I believe it goes all this week. We were the number one download last week. We sold out of the journals on Amazon, so you can't get them till the end of June. That was on June 1st. They're like, they went from suddenly like 2-day delivery to, yeah, it'll arrive sometime in between June 20th or June 24th. So it was like a three week push out, you know, because they just sold out of them so much on that day. So right now, thousands of people are signing up to that plan every day. It's been unreal to watch.
That's awesome.
So yeah, dude, it's been incredible. There's so many things I want to share, but I think if you guys don't get the New Breed newsletter, we send out a weekly update. I think this next week, Brooks is going to put something in there about what all Discipology has been doing. Of course, the real value is what it does in everybody's lives. But this is the other thing. Probably the biggest takeaway I have right now is that And I felt the Lord tell me this church wasn't going to be anything like the other churches I planted. Like, for example, I would always start with mission, and a church plant would form. That's what I've advocated and shouted about from the rooftops for years. This one was different. Sure, you could argue like, hey, Peyton started off with a house cleansing. That was mission. So, okay, the team I brought to it, that's how it came. But for Bo, he's a shepherd. He had community already. And we put the new believers from the mission together with the community because he had an apostolic and a shepherd planning. And it was like the Brady Bunch. And suddenly, my church is a lot more shepherd-oriented than it is mission-oriented. And we've said for years, like, Soul Care is the new mission. But since COVID anyways. But here's kind of the cool thing. With, you know, I've been racking my brain and praying to the Lord about, hey, what do you want me to do for mission? And when I prayed, I walked around my lagoon a few weeks back and I prayed and asked God to give me a heart for my neighborhood. Because my church I'm planning is like, I could walk to it. It's right in my neighborhood. God has been ripping through my neighborhood. And I'm not going to, in case my neighbors ever listen, I'm not going to say anything on right. this podcast about what God's doing. Because they've been asking like, hey, where's your podcaster? You know, and I don't want to say anything about that. But what I will say is God is ripping through my neighborhood. And I think right now God is saying, hey, just shepherd the people I put in front of you. Believer, unbeliever, discipology, make disciples. And so our church, rather than trying to figure out what is our mission, like we did in Long Beach, oh, it wasn't hard to figure out. It's never hard to figure out. I actually, again, know that this church plan is going to be different from any other one I've done. And the answer to that question is we are going to run discipology and pair off 2x2s in the church and start doing stuff on the ground. Rather than having a macro mission, I'm going to release people in their micro mission. And of course, I'll be reporting on that. So that's my update.
I dig it, man.
That's my diary from the trenches, baby.
I like it.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
The real question as you're doing all this stuff is how in the world do you keep up with all your bookkeeping?
There's the added problem there of, you know, with all this back and forth that you and I do in conversation about this. I mean, you know, we're discussing this stuff nonstop. That leaves even less time. Pete, it's funny. All of this church planting has kept me so busy that I don't know what I would do without simplifiedchurch.com.
Nice. Simplifiedchurch.com. I like how you work that in.
Well, you know, it takes a little skill. And I tried to say it in my most authentic voice, if you didn't notice that. I just don't know what I would do without simplifiedchurch.com.
If you'd like to hire simplifiedchurch.com, press 1 now.
Yeah, if you're listening on podcast, you just got to go to simplifiedchurch.com. And you could pretend you're pressing 1 when you hit the enter button. If you miss movie phone, you know, treat yourself. Go to simplifiedchurch.com.
It's so funny to me, man. I remember when Blockbuster went from VHS tapes to DVDs. Like it was 2000. It was like the big deal that had just switched over. And look at us today. There's no Blockbusters.
Nope.
Like, I think even Redbox is dead. It's like, yeah, we stream everything at 5 times the cost.
It's so crazy, man, because like I was thinking about this the other day, like anything I want to know, like anything, I can find it out pretty quick.
Oh, dude, I have AI evaluating my potential renters. Like, dude. I give them all the info that, you know, the background check and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, this is what you need to do on this one. You need to verify this, verify that. And I'm like it told
it's
me
just
even
weird,
what service
man.
It's crazy. I don't
like there's the, like almost any information you need now is at your fingertips. And I don't think people quite know, like particularly the Gen Z, I don't think they quite know like how special that is. Like we didn't have that. You had to find information. You had to hunt for information. So it's kind of crazy. So, all right. Well, guys, that's the show. Couple old guys telling you, you know, the golden days weren't so golden. which the golden days, by the way, are a combination of two things, a terrible memory and an overactive imagination. It's good to be alive right now. So, hey, thanks for joining us today. Church Planner Podcast. Pete and I want to thank you. And Pete, sign us out.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing. Press one now.